Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where our goal is to inspire you to become the best leader that you can be. I'm excited about our guest today. We have Daniel Pewter. Some of you may have seen him. He has been everywhere, but pro wrestling. He was the champion of WWE's Million Dollar Tough Enough competition, undefeated mixed martial arts artist, author, speaker, entrepreneur. But even more and even more exciting is the founder of this My Life, My Power. And Daniel, welcome to the program today.
Hey, thank you for having me on today, brother. Appreciate everything you do and how you impact lives around the world and just lead people to be the best version of themselves.
Hey, same to you, buddy. We were just talking before we started recording. We have a mutual friend, an amazing guy, Scott Manthorn, who's introduced us together. And it happens that I'm based here in Northwest Arkansas, and it happens that the week he introduced us, you were on your way to Arkansas randomly. So tell us about that for a second, then I want to kind of step back and just our listeners to just get an idea more about who you are and what your mission is.
Yeah, so I love Arkansas. I was just out there becoming a sheriff. I have a few-year project coming together with St. Francis County. And what we've done is we partnered the jiu-jitsu system with the judge and the school system, the college system, some of the community partners, and also the law enforcement agency, as the sheriff May has really wanted to impact community. You know, law enforcement, their job is to enforce the law, but we have such a huge problem and major challenges around the country with arresting kids and putting them in jail and creating that the system that we have today. I mean, I own a private school in South Florida with my partners, and we even had a few officers come in and arrest one of my kids because we're taking them. The kids, the public school system isn't serving necessarily, isn't connecting to, or they aren't connecting with the school system. So it's crazy to be able to see what's possible out there, taking a kid and really shifting their life. So I went out to Arkansas. I'm super excited to meet you when I come out next time and figure out what we can do together and impact more lives. And so just having a lot of fun.
I love your passion for these schools and for helping kids. Take me back to you being younger. Kind of give us a quick snapshot of you and just what makes you you. And you can start back when you were younger if you'd like to.
Yeah. So when I was a kid, I was labeled learning disabled. And I was at the 1 percentile, the first percentile out of 100. I was number one for my reading level, which, if you know anything about reading levels, you get to read in life, so you don't do well in school. And so, you know, I mean, numbers only have 10 digits, you know, so I'm good with that. With letters, they got a few more, so it's a little more challenging for my brain to comprehend. So I had a very challenging time in school, got angry when I was younger, created this anger in my life and my story because people didn't understand myself. I didn't understand how to love myself, connect with myself. And when kids bullied me and picked on me, I got angry and I held that in and I didn't really vent it out. My parents were the most amazing humans in the world, but then I didn't have a venting system per se to get the anger out. So when I was 16 years old, went to juvenile hall, beat a kid up. After that, I went to American Kickbox Academy and found a gym where I wanted to go learn how to beat people up because it got my anger up. And you know how you join a gym, they always give you a free week membership to like dupe you into wanting to come back.
Right.
It wasn't free. They beat me up all week. So it's interesting. They're like, hey, come have a free membership to an MMA fighting kickboxing gym. And Oh, no, no, it wasn't free. So Frank Shamrock, Javier Mendez took me under their wing, and just, you know, I love the connection with them. I love the whole physical connection of wrestling and fighting and pushing myself mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And now I'm able to, you know, use that because I understand what a lot of these kids are going through. They, you know, they don't have parents at home that are paying attention to them. I saw a stat once, the national average is 3 minutes of undivided attention with a parent and a kid per day.
Oh, wow.
So even you being an amazing parent and Scott, for instance, Van Dorn being an amazing parent, you guys spending, you know, hours, you know, with their kids, the challenge is then you send them into a system. Not even, I mean, some people are like, oh yeah, well, we send them to school, but it's a private school. Well, it doesn't matter if it's private, public, charter. At the end of the day, even the homeschool stuff, it doesn't matter. It's it comes down to then they get to go live in the real world. And so if they don't understand how to understand themselves so they can love themselves, so they can love others, then it's going to be a challenging life for them. So it's interesting how we as adults don't think that we need to spend time on ourselves before we have kids and really have high emotional intelligence, have the leadership capabilities, have the inspiration. And I'll give one instance. I was walking through the airport today. I'm in Ohio right now. And one of the parents like yanks her kid and goes, no, don't go over there. And I'm thinking to myself, you could easily just say, you know, get down on their level, say, hey, sweetie, can you help me push the bag? You know, get them involved, inspire your kid to want to, not telling your kid what you don't want them to do all the time. Because that's why we have a lot of these challenges when the kids get older.
Yeah, that's great input, great advice. So let's go back to your story. First of all, the side note, Ken Shamrock, my first fight was getting to go to UFC 3 in Tulsa back before there was rules and regulations, and I got to see Ken Shamrock there. It was an unbelievable experience. It's amazing that you got to have him as one of your mentors to learn from.
So Ken is actually Frank's brother. Ken and Frank were actually, it's a crazy story. Bob Shamrock had a foster home. And it's so funny that I didn't really understand Bob Shamrock's life until I just watched an interview with Ken and who was it? Ed Milette. And Bob had a foster home and then adopted them later. And he took their last name. So they were both in DJJ system and, you know, in and out of juvenile hall and super challenging kids. But Bob was that one guy in their life that just gave them love and really supported them. So it's interesting to be able to see how that's the road I'm going down is how do we create this system around the country, not just create one Bob, create thousands of them to really shift the system in our country.
Yeah, that's amazing. Daniel, I'm going to fast forward for you a little bit. You know, there's so many highlights in your career from your martial arts and from the WWE and some of your time in the spotlight there. But tell me about the defining moment, a big moment that happened for you out at lunch or dinner one day in LA. And tell me that story and then how that kind of defined where you're going now.
Yeah, so I got on TMZ and I said, I'll come to your school if you're being bullied. And what I was seeing was I was finding a lot of kids that were being bullied and committing suicide. And so with seeing what was going on in our system, I felt like, hey, I have a celebrity brand. How do I reach out, get on some TV, go out to schools, start a movement? And what we found was that the schools weren't, they wanted me to come out and speak for an hour, but they didn't actually want to make or allow for time to really create emotional intelligence. So helping the kids create that love for themselves. And so some schools have, like the schools out here that I'm working with in Ohio and Buffalo, and there's certain schools, but a lot of the schools, they're not. And so, you know, what we do is we work really hard with a lot of these schools now. And that's why I started my own school system. We're launching 3 more schools in March 2019, and we're going to have 6 more next year, and we're building a system around the country where we're finding amazing humans that want to make a good living and have a few months off a year and impact a bunch of kids' lives and just love on them. So yeah, it's great. It's a great system, and we're really shifting the kids' emotional intelligence. We're helping them have more empathy, be less aggressive, but also use that aggression if they do have it in a positive way. So we're really looking at the holistic route, but also how do we shift policy long term? How do we help our next generation grow up more hands-on instead of just book smart? That we can really understand how to utilize the content to create our future, our life, our way of living that we want to live. Hmm.
What made you decide? I know that there was that moment with TMZ, and then, you know, from what I've read, you had over 10,000 emails from 12 different countries in only 8 weeks of kids who were saying, "I'm being bullied," and they were having a tough time. Is that when you realize this is big enough that I need to make an impact and make this my calling right now?
Yeah, so I started off, so it's somewhat of a fluke, right, on how I was just like, you know what, I'm gonna go help some kids, and that's all I cared about. I didn't care about starting, you know. First I was like, you know, I'm gonna go help some kids, and then I saw, wow, we really need this around the country from the emails that were pouring in, then from the kids in the schools. And then I'm thinking, okay, how do I create long-term, long-term shift, you know, long-term sustainability for our nonprofit? How do I create? And then I found going to all these schools, there was so much turnover and shifting and principals leaving, superintendents leaving, teachers leaving. So it was challenging to keep systems, the programming in schools. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to show the public charter and the homeschool world what's possible. Let's create a private school. And so we started with our partners about 2 years ago creating the private school. It's called MLMPI, Preparatory Academy. And so we now have other schools, staff, and principals coming into our school. We had a mayor yesterday. We had a police chief yesterday. We had, you know, not only do they speak to our kids, but they also learn from our kids. Learning what works, how to create value, how to get kids to understand their own value. And so it's amazing. It's awesome to see how we're doing what we're doing, and it's very creative outside the box, but we also using a lot of technology. So it's a lot of fun.
You talk about significance breeds success, and in fact, that's your podcast. You talk about success often. One of your quotes is, success is what happens to you, and significant is what happens through you. I believe that anyone can be successful, but not everyone will live a significant life. I'm fascinated with success and significance as well. A mutual acquaintance of ours, Aaron Walker, that's what resonated with me about Aaron. He showed me how to be not just successful, but significant. Tell me what that means to you. I want to hear, because you're one of the other few that I've seen really focus on the success side of, or the significant side of success.
Yeah, so I look at, you know, the three major, let's say, groups in America that make us run who we are today is our military. They protect us internationally. It's our law enforcement that protects us nationally and inside our country. And it's our educators that grow us. And so I find that all three of those groups are so successful, and they're significant, but their significance makes their success even more impactful. And then there's people that are billionaires that don't care about anybody. They don't care about themselves. They don't care about their kids. Millionaires that make a lot of money, and that's all the time they spend, but they treat people like crap in our company. And so looking at these different people, these different categories of people and how they live their life, how they show up for people, how they look to serve, is, to me, it's more fulfilling. And I find that so many people, what gets in the way of their fulfillment is their ego. It's their belief system of that they have to come first. It's kind of like when you go to a restaurant and they take your order and they're like, "Hey, welcome to whatever. Let me take your order." And then you go to like a Chick-fil-A or a Chipotle and they're so happy and healthy and vibrant and excited to take your order. So the context shift is huge on what's possible. You're still doing the same exact thing, but you're just doing it from a very significant way of life and how you make somebody feel and project that energy into what you're up to.
Do you have advice for someone that is, maybe they're not feeling like they have that significance? The listeners to our show, they've got resources. They're listening to grow. The whole idea is to become better leaders and more significant and intentional leaders. What does someone do if they feel like they're not living to that fulfillment?
You know, first thing is I would dive into what is one thing that makes you feel fulfilled. Because what's really interesting to me is we create all of this. The story that we tell ourselves, that we create,
For instance, I ask people all the time, do you believe everything you hear? And people are like, no. I'm like, do you believe everything you see? They're like, no. I'm like, do you believe everything you think? And they think for a second, they're like, no. I'm like, okay, so if you don't believe everything you think, see, hear, or maybe even feel, then how do you create your beliefs? And it's from our past experiences. We actually make these stories up and create this. And at the end of the day, I believe that everybody is born into this world with good in their intention. Mm-hmm. And we're taught behavior, and we're taught through either TV or music or whatever else about how to, let's say, be and or act. And so I find a lot of time people don't dive in enough into what makes them tick and their beliefs. And so first step is, I think, really understand your beliefs, what you stand for, who you are, and what you want to create in your life. The second thing is then to fill somebody up. It's creating a legacy project. For instance, I'm working with a huge A-lister right now to put his name on our school, one of our schools, and it's a legacy project for him. For the next 100 years after he's dead, or whatever the time period we have the school, it's gonna impact hundreds of thousands of kids. Hmm. Not only the kids in our school, but outside, the families, the parents, the people in the community. So it's really interesting. I think that if you can start understanding why you believe what you believe and what makes you tick and what makes you feel good, whether it's helping an old person across the street or whether it's helping a school system shift the policy and for a bigger legacy movement. I find that a lot of people help people, but helping people doesn't necessarily solve a problem. Mm-hmm. And I find that when we're going towards solving major problems, people like my team, they have more drive and fulfillment because they see that shift coming in really solving some major, major challenges and problems out there. So first one is to understand your beliefs. Second one is then really define what you're going to choose that makes you fulfilled every day. And then third one is commit to it. I think a lot of people are like, oh, I can't make money doing this. Or, you know, like in education, people are like, oh, to be a principal takes 10 years to get there, or to be a teacher, you can't make enough. I mean, those are all, to me, it's all excuses. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to be paying our principals $100,000 to $150,000 a year. You know, it's great income. Our teachers can make great wages too. I mean, it's amazing to be able to see what's possible. And I find that people, it's not the resources out there, but it's the resourcefulness of that person really figuring out and going to pick people's brains, travel a little bit. You know, I was just with the Dalai Lama in India. I'm working on a project with the Crown Prince of the Zulu tribe. I was on the phone with somebody else in Central South America. It's a big name. I mean, we're working on, I want to see the world, because then I can get more creative ideas about how to really serve our future generations.
Yeah, Daniel, what I like about what you're sharing too, and thank you for that advice, is you're somebody, and this is who the type of people that I always surround myself with, and that's people that see solutions, even to some bigger problems. It seems hopeless sometimes looking at bullying or looking at the education system. I know I've got a 7 and a 9-year-old. It's been the top of mind conversation for my family for the past 7 years about what do we do with our kids and teaching them. But I like that you're taking these big problems, you're finding solutions for them. How do you stay focused on that? I mean, it's one thing to be positive. We also have to be, you know, you and I talked last, I said I'd gone through a year being brutally honest with myself to really understand how to fix things and how to really make the most impact. And that's hard to do sometimes too, but how do you pull these resources together and stay positive and keep this drive and have this kind of ongoing larger than life mission? And you do have it. You can hear it in your voice and with the kinds of people and the kinds of things that you're doing. What drives you for that?
So I believe that I have the ultimate power to create destination and to create what's possible on this earth. I think so many people, they turn their power over to whether it is a religion. Like I was born in a church, and I wouldn't say as religious per se, but I believe that God made us in his image. So if he made us in his image, he's all powerful. And so it's creative on how I can go out there and make so much impact when I believe it, and then other people don't believe it and they can't do it. Hmm. And so we have so much. I mean, think about it. We have two legs, two arms. We have a brain. We have cars. We have planes. We have so much in America, and we don't. I don't see so many of our leaders utilize everything. Like, I go into companies now and I'm talking to them about economic development and about how they're recruiting for their employment. And these companies, like, some of them are massive, and they're recruiting people out of college. They're not going into the colleges and building the next gen. They're just recruiting. So they're spending 10 times more money actually doing what they're doing right now versus spending a little more money up front because they're public or because their owners don't get the value of building the next generation of employees. And they're spending 10 times as much easily. You know, some companies are spending, I mean, to onboard an employee at Walmart, I just heard the number was about $5,000. So if you onboard an employee at Walmart and he leaves after a year, you spend another $5,000. Why not give him a bonus if he stays 18 months of $2,000? Why not after another 18 months, give him another bonus of $3,000? You know, I mean, why not incentivize people and build people? But a lot of time they don't do enough training. They don't. Number one, they're not recruiting because they're not recruiting right, or they're not hiring right, and which means they have to fire them or they leave. And so a lot of people don't believe in a vision or purpose anymore. A lot of people just need a job per se versus get to have a job. They're going after the mindset of, I need a job. I need to pay for bills. I'm stuck in this. And they don't understand the value. And so I find that, you know, anybody, if they don't understand the value of why they're there, then they're not going to compete, or they're not going to perform at the highest level. So one of my thoughts too about, you know, what would you say to leaders? I think one of the big things is a lot of your leaders, they have kids or they have grandkids, or, you know, the family has kids. And the biggest thing that I would start off with was I am statements. You can Google what an I am statement is, but it's I am. And then mine is loving, authentic, and loving, authentic, and committed. And so we have these commitments to ourself of I am statements to define who we are. So when somebody tries to bully us, pick on us, whatever that is, whatever goes on, we understand not only our commitment to ourselves, but our belief. And on top of that, if my commitment is to love somebody, then I'm not going to be hateful. And if I am, I'm off context. I'm out of alignment with my commitment to myself. So we're teaching. I mean, we do this stuff in corporations all the time, just like you do. I mean, it's building the corporate side, but it also is defining how they perform at home. Because if the kids are all over the place, and let's say the wife's at home or the husband's at home, or the wife comes home and they're not spending that quality time, and there's a disconnect at home, there's going to be a disconnect at work. So one of our biggest things is how you do everything. How you do one thing is how you do everything. And so how do we build that family at home, and how do we really get them to connect authentically, where there is no shame and blame? For instance, if a kid does something, we just had six of our kids at our school. It's awesome. Go in and some people don't think it's awesome, but I do. Go in and turn up the vending machine upside down. Six kids grab the vending machine and they turn it upside down. And I'm thinking, I hear this later, I'm like, this is great. And my dean goes, just looks at me, and I go, teamwork, bro, teamwork. Like, we just need to focus that teamwork into something that's going to get them. But at least they have the energy to create a teamwork. You know, I mean, so many people are doing, you know, I mean, so I'm looking at, like, what are the, and my thing isn't to, like, tell them to you know, telling each other or whatever else they want to say what it was. I go, here's the deal. You're either part of my family or not. When you're part of my family, you're going to take care of my family. And the school is my family. To the boys, I was like, those girls in our school, those are our family. So you either take care of them or you don't. And if you don't, then you're not going to be part of my family long term. I remember everything you guys do and everything you're a part of. And so what do you want for your long term? You can pretty much do and write a ticket. You have two arms, two legs, and a brain. And you're like, these kids are all super smart. So it's just interesting, I think, to create what I want to create. And I do it by having an awesome team around me that are all with the same mindset, the same belief system, the same vision of what we want to create together. and we stick together. And sometimes they kick my ass if I'm off, if I'm out of alignment with what I'm going to be. Like, I just got offered to run for an office. I won't say it on air here because we're keeping a hush-hush. But I got offered to run for a political office, and it was a pretty big individual that offered this. And I said no. I said I already have a commitment to my team for the next 4 years, but after that, we'll see. Since I want to do some political stuff later on in my life, but I think that my commitment to them is building 100 schools in the next 5 years, and we're going to do it around probably about 5 or 7 states and build them out and serve communities and really prove the concept of what's possible if we did this system that we're creating around the whole country with every school.
Thanks for sharing, Daniel. I love your mission. I want to be a resource for you as well with this MLMP Institute and all the other things you're doing. I love that you are your I am statement. I have one as well. I think it's important to understand that and to be a doer, not just be reactionary in life. We all have a calling and have, as you said, the arms and legs and resources to make a difference and make an impact. And you said it in the name of your nonprofit, My Life, My Power. It's awesome. Any final things you want to share with us around leadership, around your nonprofit, and then how our listeners can reach out and learn more about you if they want to find out more information?
Yeah, and I know I love the leadership side of it. When kids say, we always talk about what kind of team members they want, and people always say, I want a leader on my team. And I throw like some crazy leaders out there. Like, I'm like, hey, you want to be like Hitler? And they're like what? And it throws them off. And I'm like, I don't condone anything he ever did, but he led a lot of people and he inspired people. And so I want you to break down what kind of leader, what ways of being. And so I find in America that we run off of the human doingness, like what we do, versus human beingness, which is the fundamentals. And we can do all day, but if we don't, you know, if we treat people like crap and we run a business, you know, what are we going to create with our next gen? But if we're loving and fun and committed and have great follow through, and we do the same exact doingness and business stuff, we can really make an impact in people's lives. So my challenge for your people is what kind of, you know, what's your I am statement? What's your ways of being? How are you going to show up and what's your commitment? And when you can love yourself more and more and more, then you'll be able to love the people around you and really make a bigger impact. People will see it. People want to follow people that do that. So I'm super excited for what you do, how you lead people, how you inspire people around the world. And thank you for having me on.
Hey, my pleasure. How do we find out more about you, Daniel, if we want to go and connect with you or learn more about what you're doing?
For sure, danielpuder.com, P-U-D-E-R. I have my podcast, Significance Brings Success, if people listen to the podcast. We have our vlog every week. So we produce a bunch of content. Come to our school. If anybody's in Miami, please come out. It's My Life, My Power Institute Prep Academy. Come speak. We have multiple speakers every week. And, you know, if they have any questions, just shoot me an email at dp@mylifemypower.org.
Awesome. Daniel, thanks again. I look forward to catching up with you again soon. Thanks for taking the time. And I know that our listeners are going to get value from this today. And I look forward to seeing the next things that you're doing. You're making a big impact, and I really respect and admire your mission.
Thank you, brother. Have an amazing day.
You too. We'll talk soon.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.